Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 167, Having a Fruitful Prayer Life. Guest Minister Cheryl Jackson delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on January 10th, 2021.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. 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 Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Everyone here, those watching via YouTube, and those that will be joining us and listening through podcasts later on today. Whew. My desire is the Lord would use me. It'll be His words speaking through me to you, to us, and that we would receive a new anointing, fresh new revelation, because we're in 2021 now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, we're going to face 2021 head on in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I'm here. I'm going to be sharing with you about having a fruitful prayer life. Fruitful means productive. So I'm sure we all want to be productive in our prayer life, all of us. Okay. So before we pray, I want to recommend, we saw this several years ago. Mew sent this video to me. She sent it to me about a month or so ago. And so it just reminded me of what's kind of going on right now. And it's called Battle at Kruger. The Battle at Kruger. Some of you remember that, the Battle at Kruger, where it looked like this buffalo was going to be destroyed. Then all of a sudden, the troops showed up. That's like the church. It's a picture of the church where you got that one that's struggling a little bit, struggling, and the enemy is coming and pounding. And then all of a sudden, the church shows up and you get free. So I encourage you. It's called Battle at Kruger. It will encourage you. It is. I've watched it like 3 or 4 times now since Mew sent it to me, reminding me because she wasn't feeling well, and she called, and we prayed, and then she sent that to me like, I can call upon the buffalo. We used to call each other the buffalo because when one of us was in trouble, we all showed up to help. So I'm serious. Battle at Kruger, okay? All right, so let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this message that you're sharing today, hallelujah, will have a lasting impact on our lives. That each of us will know how to better commune with you in fellowship and prayer. Thank you for your blessings, and may they continue to be abundant in our lives. Thank you for your love, continue to overwhelm us. Thank you for your goodness and mercy, not only pursuing us, but overtaking us. Thank you for shalom, peace, continuing to guard our hearts and our minds. We need that. And thank you for making our joy full as we see your word come to pass in our lives. They gave me something. I don't have to hold a mic, so watch out. Woo, yeah. Amen. I ask you to amen. Hallelujah. I talk with my hands, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I want to repeat this. I said this before, that we are in a war. Whether you want to be or not, we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But our commander in chief, he's awesome. It's God. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, you therefore must endure hardship. Must. It doesn't say you might. Must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The next scripture talks about not getting entangled in the things of this life so that you could please the Lord. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves getting entangled in what's going on around, all around. And the Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that, because he wants you to be pleasing to him. So don't do that. In Psalm 144, 1, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. I'm giving you a background of we're in a war. You're in a battle. In Jesus' name. Okay? The good news. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's our part. We have to bring every thought captive. That's in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm watching some of you are waiting for to write down where it at. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, our enemy is the devil. He's the thief. He doesn't come to do anything but steal, kill, and destroy. So if there's some stealing, killing, or destroying going on in your life, it is the devil. It is not God. God only wants for us what is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Hallelujah. And there is no darkness in him at all. Hallelujah. That's what the word says. Woo! And then Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He wants us to have abundant life. So you got to watch. It's the thief. He's coming. But you can resist him through the word of God. Okay? Now, that I've explained that we're in this war, that we have an enemy. God has given us his armor, not just any armor, his armor, so that we can stand our ground and maintain what Jesus has done for us. Okay? It's in Ephesians 6. It starts out, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. His might. We need to stop trying to do things on our own. It's in his might. We're strong in him and the power of his might. Okay? And he goes through and says, you know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're fighting a good fight of faith, but we're only wrestling, y'all, wrestling. You know, let's pin the devil with the word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Anyways, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the host of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But he tells us to stand therefore, having put on our armor. Okay? I want to go through the armor. The belt of truth. It's the accurate information regarding God and the good news of Jesus. We have that belt on. Yeah. Belt of truth. Okay? And then the rest of the armor is connected to that belt. Okay? Next is the breastplate of righteousness, where the belt keeps it, you know, wraps around that. The breastplate of righteousness. It covers the vital parts of your body, the heart, the lungs, the stomach. Okay? So righteousness, or doing what is right, is essential to protecting the life of the believer through spiritual battle. Breastplate. Okay? The breastplate is a primary means of identification. Our behavior is meant to identify us to the world and other believers as followers of Christ. So doing the right thing in right standing with God, righteousness. Okay? People watch us. They do. You know, I had somebody look at me one time and say, you know, you're a Christian. How do you know that? And it was just, I guess, at that time, what I was wearing, they thought, you got to be a Christian. I was like, okay. But it doesn't go. God doesn't look on the outward. He looks in our heart. Okay? So he was looking on my outward. He was right, though. But, well, praise God. Okay. The next piece is the preparation of the gospel of peace, or shoes of peace. Makes a believer ready for spiritual battle, the shoes of peace. We want to be peacemakers. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. So we have those shoes of peace. And so we're ready. We're ready for spiritual battle when we have that peace. Because when we go in and there's chaos going on, we want to be that one that steps in and there's peace. Like that picture they used to show, there's a storm going on and there's a little bird in the cleft of the rock at peace, not fretting, not carrying on. And we shouldn't be fretting or carrying on either. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, the shield of faith. Praise the Lord. protects the rest of the army, and it's the strongest defense. Because you know when you have a shield, you can move it around. It ain't got to stay in one place. You can move it. It's coming that way, you can do it that way. Come that way, you can do it that way. Anyways, and it's a defensive piece of armor. And it not only protects you, it protects others, okay? And so faith is what defeats the attacks of the enemy, your faith in God, okay? Next is the helmet of salvation, essential in battle, the best protection against Satan. It protects our minds, our head. You know, you fall on the ground, hit your head, it might be it. You know, when a soldier was in battle, if he fell and hit his head, you know, it might have been the end for him. Okay? Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's an offensive weapon. God's Word defeats the attacks of the enemy during spiritual battle. Okay? But what I want to focus on today is prayer. Okay? You need those, all that armor. You don't want to go out. If you're in a war, you don't want to go out without your armor on. Okay? When I was looking this over, it was showing me stories, you know, how Roman soldiers and those kind of people, what they wore and the essential things that they needed and used when they were in war. Okay? That was their armor. Okay? We have an extra piece, I believe. Some people don't believe that, but I think we have the extra piece, which is prayer. Amen. I really do. And I think prayer is essential, really. Okay? It's essential for winning our spiritual battles. It connects us to the power of God, and it's something we need to do with all perseverance. We do. You know what? I can kind of relate it to you. I mean, I know we're fasting, but you don't eat one meal and then that's it for the rest of the year. I'm done. I'm good. No. You eat daily when you're not fasting. You eat daily. And some of us eat three meals a day. Amen. And a snack. Praise the Lord in the back. And a snack and all kinds of things. But you don't do that one day and say, I'm done for the week. You got to get that nourishment. So prayer, we have to persevere in prayer. Prayer, I believe, is a daily thing. As believers, we should be connecting with our Father all the time. Amen. Not just once that day, all through the day. Amen. He's made it so that we can do it all through the day. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, prayer is a spiritual discipline. Because when you go to pray, somebody calls on the phone. Somebody get a text. Somebody knock on the door. Somebody wants something. Your kids, your husband, your wife, your somebody. Somebody always wants something when you have set that time aside to pray. I think that's why a lot of people pray like at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning because their family isn't up. But I'm going to tell you, it's a fight. The enemy wants to fight us to keep us from praying. It's a connection to our God, our Father, the creator of the universe, who knows everything, all about you, all about your family, all about what you're going through, and the enemy wants to block that. Okay? When we pray, it builds our spiritual muscles. You know? When you go to the gym, you don't lift your weights once and then say, I'm strong. I'm done now. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nope. You go back and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you build those muscles. So that's what we need to do with prayer. We need to build that spiritual muscle. And the more we pray, the stronger we get in the Lord. And then when we pray, it reverses the Adam mentality. We are now in the Jesus covenant. We're no longer part of the Adamic thingy, covenant, whatever. He lost everything. Jesus came and won it all back for us. Okay? And Adam mentality is I'm operating in my flesh. You're operating, you know what? I know you do. We in the car, we operate in the flesh sometimes. Somebody cuts you off, we operate in the flesh. It's funny this morning, some believers in the Lord was driving and got in front of me, and I said, I let you over in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You have to learn how to handle it that way instead of, oh, what do they think they're doing? And blow them off the high. You don't want to do that. It's like, I let them over in the name of Jesus. So praise the Lord. Okay. Next I have prayer is a kingdom technology that restores spiritual connectivity and authority. Okay. Now, technology makes our lives easier, correct? Well, God wants to make our lives easier. Prayer is that kingdom technology. How to connect with Him. Okay? Makes it easier, right? Connecting with Him. Amen. So these are things that I want to, you know, talk to you about being fruitful and productive in your prayer life. And first thing is spending time with the Father. Luke 5:16 says that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He probably went and prayed to the Father. I'm sure he went to pray to the Father so he could get built up, so the Father could tell him what he wanted him to do. Okay? It also says in Luke 6:12, get ready for this one, hang on. Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. How many of us are excited about that? If the Holy Spirit puts it on you, pray all night. Woo, Jesus, help me. And then Matthew 14:23, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So he went to spend the time with the Father so he could get that power he needed, you know, to do what the Father has told him to do. Because he said in his word, I only do what I see my Father do, what he's telling me to do. So he goes, he spends the time. That should be our example. We should spend our time with him too. We should make time for the Father. Next, spending time in the Word. This is one of our fasting scriptures this 21 days. It's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So you want to make your way prosperous, and you want to have good success. We need to meditate in the Word. And it says day and night. I know that sometimes I get up in the day, and I'll pray, and then at night it's like, whatever. But now, it's like, okay, I want to be prosperous and I want to be successful. So it's a day and night thing. Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. And even if you don't get your Bible out, you know, a lot of you have your phones, or you have a scripture that'd be running in your head. Meditate on that one. It only takes one. It takes one to get free. It took one touch for that woman to get free. Ooh, yeah. One. So it takes one. Okay? Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, ponders by talking to himself. So it's okay, everybody. You can talk to yourself. That one says day and night also. So we need to meditate in the Word. And there are quite a few other scriptures that talk about that, to meditate. And some are, and a lot of them are in Psalm 119. I'll give you a few. Psalm 119:15, Psalm 119:48, Psalm 119:78, Psalm 119:48, and Psalm 119:23. They all talk about meditating and meditating on his precepts studying the word and his statutes and those kinds of things. And so we want a fruitful prayer life. So these are some things we probably should add if we haven't added them, just to try and do. Now, no condemnation. Okay. You can start out. No condemnation at all. The Lord loves you and he wants to meet you right where you are. Amen. Amen. Okay. Next, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's part of that. There's more. Anyways, but it says the power is going to come when you receive the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Acts 4:31. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Okay, if we assembled here together here to, and we start praying and everything starts shaking, what would you do? Think about it. What would you do? Come on.
Keep praying.
Yeah, I think we should keep praying because we, you know, is the Holy Spirit shaking or are we having an earthquake? Whatever. But we need to keep praying whichever way it goes. Okay? So anyways, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you get another feeling. From the first time you have it, you can keep getting filled. It says, continuous being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it tells us to do. And then you can go with boldness to speak forth the word of God. And then Jude 20 tells us, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Build yourself up. That's a way to build yourself up. This is why the enemy fights you so hard about praying in the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's gone. It's past. No, it's in the Word. And the enemy wants to fight you very hard to keep you from doing it. Because it's in the Word. He's fighting tooth and nail to keep you from understanding that praying in the Spirit. Man, there's so much freedom that can come from that. Right. Praying in the Spirit. And then Romans 8:26, that's my favorite. Well, okay, one of my favorites because the Word of God, the Scripture is so awesome. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. A text comes, says, such and such wants you to pray for them. But it's not exact. They're not specific. They don't tell you definitely what they want. So you pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, you know what's going on in their life. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because then possibly it'll come through. God will download into you what is needed for that particular situation. And then you can pray in English if you need to. In understanding. I'm going to say in understanding if you need to. Okay? It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't understand it. And there's people who don't understand that. But the Word of God says it's our gift. It belongs to us. We can have it. We need to use it. Especially in these days. We need to use it. Okay? And then, of course, praying in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, John 16:23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. But you know what? That's where the perseverance comes in. It's not a one-time deal. It's perseverance. You ask him, then you thank him. And you persevere. You persevere. You ask him, you thank him. You thank him, you thank him until it comes. Okay? Here's another example, Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't in their strength. It wasn't in their power. It was in the power of the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who was crucified, died, raised from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus. Woo! Woo! Oh, Lord, help me. Woo, Jesus. Jesus. Okay, you all know I'm a scripture person, right? You already know that. Okay, here comes another one. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, our Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Do it all in his name, whatever you do. I know sometimes we forget, but whatever we do, do all in the name of our Lord. Okay? Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, when I looked at that and it said should, okay, it says should because not everybody is receiving their free gift of salvation. They should receive it, but they're not, okay? In the end, though, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Whether he's your Lord and Savior or whether he's not, it's going to come to that point. Why not let him be your Lord now and escape all the turmoil? Okay, escape hell. Why not just put it to the point? Escape hell. Make him your Lord and Savior right now, right? Because I have a brother who told me he was going to wait until the tribulation. And then he would receive the Lord. I said, if you can't serve the Lord now and it ain't threatening to cut your head off, how you going to serve him then? I mean, think about it. How you going to do it then? And that stuff, you're not even threatened with that. You know, that doesn't make sense. Okay? So anyways, we confess here that Jesus Christ is Lord. We do here. Because we know he's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He died for us. He was raised from the dead. And we are saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, we should have a passion for prayer. We really should. If you don't, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, give me a passion for prayer. Prayer is my passion. just want you to know that. I don't know if you knew that, but you do now. Anyways. Okay, it should be honest and sincere. We should pray earnestly. Earnestly means you're serious. There is a scripture in the Bible that talks about being serious in prayer, watchful and serious in prayer because of the end times. It's in, I believe, 2 Peter. Okay? We should be persistent. We should persevere. We should pray the promise and not the problem. Yes. Somebody comes to you for prayer, you don't start talking about whatever they're going through. You start talking about what God says. Yes. So we're going to pray the promise and not the problem. Pray what you need to happen. Don't just throw it up in the air. Father, this is what I need in the name of Jesus. Okay? Okay. Find scriptures to back up what you are praying for. Because God, hallelujah, God, it hastens to perform his word. So if you're praying according to the word, he's going to see that word and say, okay, well, that's the word. I got to do this. You know what I mean? That's his word. He backs up his word. His word does not return to him empty, but it accomplishes and it prospers where he sent it. Okay? So, praying relationally, that's to our Father. We pray intentionally and be specific. If you need something, be specific at what you need. Specific amount of money, specific prayer need. Be specific to the Lord so he'll know. I will tell you that I got some of that from that prayer guide book we have. It's really good. It's been a very good insight for me. And so praying specific. Don't just throw your prayers up in the air and hope one falls and, oh, look. That's like throwing money up in the air. And say, God, whatever is yours, you can have. Now, that would be funny if you did that and it stayed up. It's like, oh, he wanted it all. Okay, pray faithfully. Don't waver. God can resurrect any anything in our lives. Anything. He's a God of resurrection. Resurrection power. The same power that was in Christ that raised him from the dead is in us. Yes. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds. Amen. And not be conformed to this world. And think the way God thinks. And not the way the world thinks. And or is telling us to think. Okay? It says prayer is intimate and personal. And God helps us make decisions through prayer. You have a tough decision to make? Go to prayer. Ask God. And let peace be your umpire. I heard that from Joyce Meyer.
Yes.
Let peace be your umpire. Okay? And if you don't have peace about it, don't do it. Okay?
Amen.
Pray decisively, which means quickly, effectively, and confidently. Okay? Okay. So prayer has such power, you know, especially what, you know, sometimes you get started. I tell people, you know, start in your flesh. I don't feel like it. Well, start in your flesh. Pretty soon it'll kick in. It'll kick in. It happens, you know, really. Okay, so because if we realize what Jesus did for us, that he died in our behalf so that we can have right relationship with the Father. He did that for us. Everything he did it for us, in our behalf. We should have died on that cross. You know, we should be going to hell. Not him, but he did it, defeated hell, death, and the grave, rose up for 3 days and said, here, power and authority I give to you. Because I got it, you have it. You know what and he says, be an imitator. We need to imitate him. He is our example. But he went, he left, didn't leave us powerless. He didn't leave us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our friend. And the power, it says he's the power of God. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Okay? So everything he did for us. And, you know, I read this out of this book, and it just hit me. It says, many people feel that they are people of faith. But the object of their faith is not what Jesus did for them. The object of their faith is their own ability to be good. So then we miss out. Because then we're trying to do it instead of letting Jesus do it. Instead of letting, you know, pray in the name of Jesus to the Father and then let him take care of it. We take things back and try and go do it. Oh, God's taking too long. Let me go do it. It's like, no, be patient. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience.
Amen.
Patience. And we all have it. Don't say you don't have it. Don't ask God for it because you already have it.
Yes.
It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you have that fruit.
Yes.
You just need to exercise it.
Yes.
You just need to, exercise that faith so that love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Amen.
You have them all already in there if you have the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Okay? Now, if we're going through an evil time, and if you're going through a season of evil, whenever or wherever you can, pray in the Spirit. I read this story where they were talking about Jesus went and cleansed the temple. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He went in and ran out the thieves. They were den of thieves. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He went and cleansed the temple. Okay? This person I was reading this book said, when we pray in the Holy Spirit and we're waiting for the manifestation, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are houses of prayer. And the Holy Spirit, when we're praying in the Spirit, drives out those thieves, cleanses the temple, drives out the one trying to steal our health and steal from us. Okay? When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, okay, those thieves can't stay there. There's no room in there for them. So you pray in the Holy Spirit. Because it's trying to steal your health, your peace, your faith, and your life, etc. Because the thieves come to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? So the Lord has given us a tool. Well, not a tool. The Holy Spirit. He's not a tool. He's the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God. Amen. Praying in the Holy Spirit as much as you can. So this morning, Sarah goes, "You were really focused." I said, "I was praying in the Spirit." I was driving down the road. I was meditating. Actually, I was really praying in the Spirit. And I was meditating, quoting scripture and telling and saying, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord." I've just been quoting scripture and praying in the Spirit, cleansing out the temple, getting my mind renewed with the Word of God, thinking the way He wants me to think and not the way the world wants me to think, not the way my body wants me to think. No, it's time to think the way God tells us to think and the way God wants us to act. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thieves cannot remain when you're praying in the Spirit. They can't. They have to get out, just like when Jesus drove them out. Okay? And the prayer language of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual language. His prayers are perfect prayers. Perfect. That's why the enemy fights so hard. His prayers are perfect. Enemy can't understand what you're saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, and how you're talking to God, because the scripture says we don't talk to men, we're talking to God. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, okay? And His prayers are perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. It helps keep our body free from those thieves, from, you know, stealing our health and our peace and all the things. You know, we have peace. We can have peace as we get built up, building ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, and praying in the Spirit activates the flow of living water in our lives. It says, "Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water." Let it flow. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your... it's all right with the quiet. Okay, I'm not going to... No condemnation. Let it flow. Get it out. Let those rivers flow. Stagnant water doesn't do any good. It only stinks. That's right. Anyways, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Remember James 5, 13 through 16. James 5, 13 through 16. "Is any among you afflicted?" I'm reading from the Amplified, okay? "Is any among you afflicted?" And in parentheses it said, "ill-treated or suffering evil. He should pray." That's what it said. You should pray. I shouldn't pray for you. You should pray. Amen. Step on some toes. You cannot expect to ride on the coattails of other people's prayers all the time. You need to pray for yourself. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to stand on the Word of God for yourself and quit trying to ride on other people. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. God loves you. And He wants you to live victoriously. He wants to commune with you. He don't want me communing with Him for you. He wants the relationship with you. It's intimate and personal. He wants it with you. He don't want me to have it for you. Can't do that. That's like nothing. I was going to use it. Never mind. Never mind. Anyways, it says, "Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name," in the name of Jesus. So if anybody's sick, it doesn't say if you're afflicted. It says, are you sick? Then the elders where you call for the people, the spiritual guides in the church, to anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and pray in the name of Jesus. And the word says, God will raise you up. That's what the word says. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. It says, and the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick. And the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. All these things. And then it says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored to spiritual maturation, or whatever that word was. Okay? It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Tremendous. Okay? So this is our outline here. We have an outline here. What the Lord is asking us to do. Yeah. I know that we're used to what we're used to, but we're in a new season. Yeah. New season. Okay? We want more. I told the Lord, Lord, I want what you want. I want more, more, more. When the evangelist Livingood said, when you come up, I know you want something, but ask for more of him. Yes. Because I realized, he said, because when you ask for more of him, everything comes with him. Oh, so yeah, so I've been asking the Lord for more and more and more. And as he gives us more, everything we need comes with him. Because then after a while, when you go up, what do you need? Oh, I have it because I have more. I have my peace because I have more. Yeah. I have my breakthrough because I have more. I have everything I need because I have more of him. Amen. He is faithful. Okay? And then I don't want us to forget the prayer of agreement. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, we already know it's got to be according to the word and according to his will. You don't just go asking for crazy stuff. You know how people do. We said anything. Well, but God has, you know, his limits. He, you know, we don't limit God, but you got to make sure what you're asking for is in line with the word of God and not just in line with your flesh, because your flesh wanted it. So, but it said anything. No, that prayer agreement. And then I remember one time Janie comes in and goes, I just want somebody to say, I agree. She prayed. I just agree. It's like, okay. So we need to agree. That prayer agreement is powerful because it says any two. And I am going to share this story that we read yesterday out of the book, that Brother Hagin was at this church ministry, and he and his wife had agreed on an amount of money they were going to get, right? And when they counted the money, it wasn't there. And he said, yes, it is, because God can't lie. And if the money isn't here, I got to go back to all those churches I preached at and tell them God's a liar because I agree with my wife about this amount of money. So we're going to count this money again. I was like, whoa. So he counted it again. Finally, he realized he had money in his pocket, a check in his pocket, pulls it out. Oh, it was $5 more than what they had asked for. When they finished totally counting the money, it ended up being $5 more than they asked for. I was like, wow, now that takes guts to, you know what? And I really believe that's what the Lord wants us. That, oh no, this is what I asked for. This is what your word says. So this is mine and I will not be denied.
Right. That's right.
Because you honor your word. You said you would.
That's right.
You said it.
I will not be denied.
I will not. Just like, yeah, I will not. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. That's the prayer of agreement. Okay? And then Jesus taught this prayer, Mark 11, 24 through 26. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, this is a part two, we leave this off sometimes. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Okay? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. How many want their trespasses forgiven? We all want our trespasses. We all want the Father to forgive us. It says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Well, I want his forgiveness. Creator of the universe, made everything, knows everything. I want his forgiveness. So I'm going to forgive. I ask the Holy, who do I forgive? And it might be an everyday thing. Lord, I forgive. Holy Spirit, bring to my remembrance. Who do I need to forgive today? Do I need to forgive anybody today? Have I forgiven everybody today that I need to forgive? Because you don't want to block your relationship with the Father. Yes. Sin separates us from God. Unforgiveness is a sin. Yes. Okay? And so you don't want to block that relationship with God. Okay? So then once we get, when we start to pray our prayers, next we have to fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. The enemy is after your faith. He doesn't want you to have faith in God. Because he's good. You'll pray and he'll go, do you really think that's going to happen? And you, it is written. You know, God said his word would not return void. Right? Okay. Then we need to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He'll do it. It says he'll do it. He told us to rest. And so he'll do it. We just have to have the faith that he will. And not allow the enemy to come and try and steal from us what Jesus has purchased for us when he went to the cross. Okay? And the last thing I have is hold fast to a good confession. Hebrews 4:14. What is coming out of our mouths? I can't do that. I don't feel good. I'm sick. Well, sometimes I don't feel good, but I don't have to say it. I'm this, I'm that. We need to have a good confession. Or let me tell you something. When you say, I don't feel good, but God, we need to put that there. Okay? Stop talking about being broke. Because he said he made us rich. Okay? I may not have the money right now, but God. Amen. You know? I may not have that healing right now, but God. I may not this, I may not that, but God. We need to start changing the way we talk or confess. Those confessions. And a lot of times people say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows our heart. But the devil doesn't care. If you say something negative, he's on it like that and wants to use it against you. And he'll use people to bring negative things to you. And you have to resist them. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I don't receive it. I don't receive that. That's those few words. I don't receive that. Okay? Okay? Yes. Example. When I had brain surgery, the doctor told my husband, oh, if it's what I think it is, she's not going to be able to walk anymore. She's not going to be able to talk. She's going to be drooling. We're going to have to put her in rehab and all this stuff. And my husband said, I don't receive that. And looked at the family and said, we're not going to receive that, and we're not going to tell anybody that, and we're just going to go out in the waiting room and tell everybody she's fine and they can all go home. And that's exactly what he did. And they all went home. Hallelujah. And they never said it out of their mouths. Okay? I went into surgery on a Monday morning, and I was home for Thanksgiving that Thursday. Hallelujah. So God honors his word. And if you hold fast to that good confession, you will not be denied. You will not. And you know what the word says? And God gave me this week. Okay. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay. There's a miracle. That means they laid hands on them and they got their healing or whatever they need right now. And then there's recovery. Well, recovery means I went to surgery. They didn't get me up and just let me go home. I had to go to the recovery room. Then I had to recover. Recovery may take some time, but the Bible says you shall recover. And in that recovery time is when your faith is tested. And your patience is tested in your recovery time. Because then the enemy will come and say, oh, I thought the Lord said this. Oh, I thought God said that. I thought this. I thought that. It is written. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement for my peace was upon him. With his stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
So some of us are in the recovery process. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that he's with me and others who are standing in faith and believing and trusting God and thanking him for the manifestation of healing. What a wonderful day. And I want to say this. If it don't happen here, it's going to happen there. Amen. Amen. So anyways, let's hold fast to a good confession. And right now I want to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank and praise you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, you are so wonderful, and we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord God, for being the redeemer of our soul. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. How you went to that cross and bore our sins, our sicknesses, and our diseases. We thank and praise you today. I pray, Father God, that every person here and listening by YouTube receive whatever it is that they are in need of. That as they commune with you, as they communicate with you through prayer, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that your word will not return to them void, but it will prosper and it will be successful, and that you will watch over it to perform it in their lives. I thank you for being such a faithful God. You're a wonderful God. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May your presence be felt and sensed at all times in our lives, every day, Lord. May we take the time to set aside, to spend with you, so that you could download into our hearts what it is, Lord God, you want us to do. Or Lord, not only what you want us to do, or just to love on us, Lord God. And so I thank you and praise you, Father God. I, Lord, right now take authority over every distraction and every hindrance to prayer and fellowship with you. And I thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough and the victory in the lives of people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.